Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right. Y'all ready for the Word? Well, six of you are. Y'all ready for the Word? All right, turn in your Bibles this morning to, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start off at Psalm 116, and then we're going to move to Psalm 95. But I want you all to see this fabulous verse of Scripture. I've never really seen this until just a few years ago when I was reading through the book of Psalms. Psalm 116, verse 17. I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning, but if you'll honor God's word there in your seat by saying amen. Amen. Psalm 116, verse 17. Listen to what the psalmist, how he describes thanksgiving. He says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will offer to you, capital Y, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that what we all need to do this morning? All right. Craig Nelson, ask God to bless the Word this morning. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. We've been celebrating Thanksgiving since 1621. Y'all remember that day? The pilgrims, when they first landed here, after their first year of existence, they set aside a day that they could thank God for bringing them to this land and for providing for their needs. First Thanksgiving celebrated here in America. But it wasn't, as we learned last week, until I believe it was 1863 that Abraham Lincoln signed into law that the fourth Thursday of November would become a national holiday and be celebrated as Thanksgiving Day. And I shared with you all last week that Thanksgiving has become my favorite holiday. I really like it because all of our family members and our friends and our acquaintances somewhere, somehow, some way get together and give God thanks for all of His provision, His protection, His blessings. How many of you got together with somebody this week and thanked God for the things that He's done for you? Most all of you did that, right? And you know, Thanksgiving is now the most traveled holiday of the year. And really, it's a great, great day to just give God thanks, and a great day to give. Any day is a good day to do that. But especially during Thanksgiving week, kind of kicks off the holiday season. And you know, I think I mentioned last week that I don't know what atheists and agnostics do on Thanksgiving Day. They've got these feelings of gratitude and thankfulness, and they don't know who to thank. Well, you know who to thank, don't you? Let's give God some thanks and praise in here for who He is and what He's done. Now, the psalmist dives in. It's very interesting how he describes Thanksgiving. He describes it as a sacrifice, an offering. Now, in Old Testament times, you remember the Old Testament priest would take that offering and lift it high and lay it up on the altar, giving the Lord that sacrifice, that offering, with a grateful, thankful heart. 1 Peter 2:5 says, as New Testament priests, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices in thanksgiving to our Lord. Hebrews 13:15 says, we are to offer up a sacrifice of praise from our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so the Scriptures are teaching us this morning is that we are to be bringing and offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. And I want to unpack this thought of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, this truth. And to do that, we're going to go to Psalm 95, Psalm 100, and Psalm 103. Say, oh boy. All right, look at Psalm 95. And I think the first truth that I want to just share with you about this sacrifice of thanksgiving is that we're to cultivate God's presence. We're to cultivate God's presence with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Look at Psalm 95 and verse 2. Let us come before His presence with a sour attitude. What does that say? With thanksgiving. We're to come before Him in His presence with thanksgiving. And really that speaks, we're talking here about anticipation. We're talking about anticipating coming into the presence of the Lord. Did you, I know sometimes we just kind of mindlessly word the songs. But as Andrew was leading us, I was sitting there thinking about those scriptures and what it means to come into the presence of the Lord. Whenever we come to the presence of the Lord as the family of God, look at your neighbor and say, your family. I mean, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sin, you're my brother, you're my sister, and you're going to have to put up with me a long time. We're family. And so when the family of God comes together, there is a sense in which, of course, the Holy Spirit lives within us, but there is a sense of His manifest presence amongst us. Anybody get what I'm saying? And as we get ready to come to worship, there ought to be a sense of anticipation. Do you, when you got in your car to come down here this morning, were you anticipating anything? Was there a sense of longing or yearning or excitement about coming into His presence? What would y'all do if Jesus in the flesh walked in here this morning? Well, can I just tell you, He's here. He is here. His Spirit is amongst us. His Spirit is with us. And how in the world we can walk through this life with our lips dragging the ground and have some kind of sourpuss attitude? Well, help me, Jesus. We come into His presence with thanksgiving. And so do you have that anticipation when you come into His presence? Do you seek Him like that every morning? Do you anticipate the glory of God each and every time you come into His presence? There ought to be some anticipation as we cultivate God's presence with this. But then there's a second thing, and I call this adoration. Look at Psalm 95 and verse 2b. Let us, shout. I was just a kid, but I remember CW has told me about a lady who's gone to be with the Lord. But did y'all know we used to shout in the Baptist church? Not mad at somebody, but we used to shout for joy. They used to have what was called Layman's Sunday here years and years ago, and laymen would fill the pulpits. And I remember my dad was asked to go to, he was invited to come to the Methodist church. And back in the day, y'all, 50 years ago, you couldn't hardly tell a Methodist church from a Baptist church unless there was a baptism. That was about it. And the Methodists sounded a lot like the Baptists, and the Baptists sounded a lot like... And so I went with Dad to this Methodist church. I probably wasn't 6 or 7 years old, but I remember in the middle of this service, Dad said something, and I don't even remember what he said, but this little Methodist lady got up and shouted. Shouted with joy. You know, I wonder... I was sitting in the rain at the Austin Peay game yesterday with my son and grandson, and I heard a lot of people shouting for joy at the ball game. What has got our lips buttoned in the house of God? From time to time, there ought to just be such an overflow in you that something comes out of you and we just have to shout for the glory of God. We're going to be surprised when we get there. You know what changed my attitude about worship here? When I began studying the book of Revelation. You look and see how worship goes in Revelation when John was looking out. Anyways, I could say a lot more about that, but most of the time when we come into God's presence, we immediately begin to ask God for things and request things of Him, and when we just ought to adore Him. You know, we sing, "Oh, come let us adore Him." We ought to sing that every Sunday. We ought to adore Him all the time. Right? Did y'all hear about the lady who got on the bus? And she got on the bus to go across town, and the bus was overcrowded. And this little old lady got in there and she began to look, and there was no seats on the bus. No seat anywhere. And she's sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? I'm going all the way across town. And all of a sudden this gentleman stood up and said, "Ma'am, you can have my seat." And she was so surprised and shocked that she fainted right there on the floor. And when she came to, she looked up at this gentleman. She said, "Sir, my heart is filled with gratitude. I just want to thank you for giving me your seat." And then he fainted. What about coming to the Lord this morning with a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done and for who He is. And so that's the first thing I think we're talking about here, is cultivating God's presence with a sense of anticipation and adoration with the sacrifice. But then secondly, turn to Psalm 100. Oh my goodness, there's so much here. I could preach for days on Psalm 95 and Psalm 100, but we've got minutes. So second thing I want to say to you about this sacrifice of thanksgiving: we not only need to cultivate God's presence, we need to come to God's place. God's place. And Psalm 100 in verse 4 talks about a gathering place and a gratitude place. Look at Psalm 100 in verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Entering has the idea of coming into the house of God. Entering has the idea of coming into God's house. Now, in Old Testament times, early on, this was the tabernacle. Later on, it was the temple. And even in the New Testament, it was the temple. Well, where is God's house today? Y'all are afraid to answer, I know. Well, yes, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But from time to time, God's children, God's people come to God's place, which is a church house, a church building. Are y'all with me? Evidently you are, because you're here. And so I think what he's talking about here is that when we come to God's place, we come, God's house, we come with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, did you know that God wants His house to be full? Y'all knew that? How do you know that? Because some preacher said so. Jesus said in Luke 14:23, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to do what? To come in." Why? "That my house may be full." Actually, it reads, "may be filled." In other words, God desires that His house might be full whenever God's people come to His house with their sacrifices and offerings of praise and thanksgiving. Look around. Look around. Now, I know that's painful because you have to look at people when you look around, but look around at this. Is God's house full? I just wonder. knowing what Jesus said about going out and compelling them, urging them to come in. So that my house, I wonder what he's thinking this morning about Second Mile Church. I have been running across a lot of statistics lately that really make me sad. And the average church member today, y'all, we've got, you know, we have worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We give people a lot of different opportunities to come to God's place, to God's house to worship. All right? And the average church member today comes 1.7 times a month when God desires for His house to be full. It gets a little tougher. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, do y'all know what that says? Let us consider one another to love and good works. There it is up there. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but as is the manner of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I'll pick on Susan, my sister. She's here this morning. Thank God you're here. And my responsibility here is to consider her, to think about her, as to how I can best. That word stir up has its roots in a sharp object that was used to prod cattle and oxen. And so I'm to do everything I can to stimulate Susan, to challenge her, to motivate her to love God more effectively and to love God's people more efficiently. That's what the Word says. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly. Even in Jesus' day, people fell out of church. Hello? As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're to get together more as the return of the Lord gets sooner, not less. How many of you know we need one another? And by the way, can I encourage and stimulate and motivate and encourage Susan if she's not here? Can she encourage me and stimulate and motivate me and challenge me and bless me if I'm not here? We need to come to God's place on a regular basis. Honor the Lord. Now, our Sabbath is when? And there's two things God's people are supposed to do every Lord's Day. Do you know what those are? Worship and rest. That's what the day's for. That's what it's for. Worship and rest. Now, I know. Sometimes you get providentially hindered. Some of our people work on Sunday morning. Well, bless God, we've got a service on Sunday night. And some of you work 24 hours a day. You get sick all day on Sunday. Guess what we do on Wednesday? We praise and we pray. Y'all get my drift here? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? This ought to be a gathering place where God's house is full to give Him a tremendous offering of sacrifice and thanksgiving. Somebody give God praise. This is His Word for us today. And look at this gratitude verse. Psalm 104b says, let me just read it all over again. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. All right, that's the gathering place. And look at this. This is the gratitude place. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. And bless His name. You know, I know oftentimes when I was younger, and still sometimes now, you know, come to God's house to get something from God. That's the wrong attitude. We ought to come to God's house to give something to God. Hadn't God blessed you? I mean, our parking lot attendants, as soon as they open the doors of the cars, they ought to hear words like, "Praise God!" Thank you, Lord, I'm here. And when they come in the door back here, the greeters ought to be blown away with, hallelujah! I'm in God's house with God's people on God's day. And when you leave here, better off than the way that you came in, you leave thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus. What a day it's been. This ought to be a place of gratitude. How's your attitude? Oh, that kind of, yeah. An attitude of gratitude, right? Y'all okay? Y'all all right? I'm just preaching the truth here to you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. A lot of preachers don't. Well, anyways. So we cultivate God's presence with this thanksgiving, this sacrifice of thanksgiving. We come to God's place with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we consider God's provisions with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It gets even better. Look at Psalm 103. Have mercy. You'll like this, Andrew. Let me just start there at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Isn't that what we just got through singing? Hello? And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Has God been good to you? Now, consider God's provisions. I think verse 3a is talking about spiritual blessings. Who forgives all your iniquities. You know what blows me away? We get tied up in Billy's Roman study and, you know, the elect and the chosen and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I want to tell you something, folks. The amazing miracle this morning is that God would save any of us. I was bound for hell. As a 9-year-old boy, I was just as lost as the dope peddling pusher. As a 9-year-old kid, I was just as lost as that loose living prostitute. Hello? And when God, in His great infinite grace and mercy, reached down with His long arm of salvation and convicted me of my sin, He gave me the faith to trust the finished work of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And when I said, Lord, I'm yours, you're mine, God, save me. And I love the song we sang last week. We will remember. Some of us have been saved so long, we forgot what it's like to be lost. Are you thankful for your salvation this morning? Thank God who forgives us of all our iniquities. Not guilty. Not guilty. Because of the blood of Jesus. And then he's talking here about physical blessings in 3b, who heals all your diseases. Who heals all your, man, I'm looking over here at Teddy Bates over here. Had major surgery here just a few months ago. Took a big mass of, how much was that thing weighed, Teddy? He told me 20 pounds. I don't know if he was still medicated on or what when he told me that. And look at him. I believe God's healed him. That many others of you in here could testify of God's healing power. Now, God doesn't choose to heal everybody here, but if you're one of His children, He will one day heal you completely. I'm preaching and going to be a part of Lib Lida's service this afternoon. My pastor's wife. Whew. God has completely healed Lib Lida of all her diseases. What is it that, you know, folks, Jesus is our great physician. Aren't you thankful that He's able to heal? And that He wants to heal? And that He tells us to pray that others might be healed? Oh, hallelujah. There's physical blessings we can be thankful for. And then there's some general blessings. Look at verse 6. Now, as we're going to verse 6, we're going to hear some testimonies here in just a moment. Some cardboard testimonies. That's the key word, cardboard testimony, folks. You do what you need to do right now. But let me read verse 6. Psalm 103 and verse 6. The cardboard testimony folks need to get up right now and go to where you need to go. Help us, Jesus. Psalm 103, verse 6. All right, stay with me. Don't get distracted. Stay with me. Stay with me over here. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. There's some general blessings that are available for us in this season of Thanksgiving. God gives us what you need. You know, how many of you have heard the old song, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. At my house Wednesday night, we had a house full, and just before we sat down to eat, I asked everybody in my house, and I can do that because it's my house, but I asked everybody, just name one thing or one person that you're thankful for. And my little 3-year-old granddaughter, who has kidney issues and liver issues, she said, I'm thankful for food, Granddaddy. And then Isaac, I don't know where he got this, but he said, I'm thankful for clean water. Do you know how blessed we are? And then we went on around the room, and of course somebody said, I'm thankful for Jesus. And somebody else said, I'm thankful for my husband. And somebody else said, I'm thankful for my family. Thankful for this and for that. And then we prayed together. I will tell you, you cannot beat the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one like Him. What an awesome. And so we need to consider God's provision this week. Now, what I want to do right now, I've given all of you an opportunity. Sometimes we have these seasons of testimonies, you know, in here. And I always have somebody run up to me after the service. Oh, Brother Cal, I was supposed to share and I didn't share. I do not want to hear that today. Okay? But it's hard to grab a microphone and get up in front of a bunch of people. But these cardboard testimonies are going to give praise to God. They're going to be an offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so I want you to watch this and listen to this. And I believe it'll bless your socks off. The next time we have one, instead of having 8 folks, we'll have 80 folks. Hello? Because anytime we get an opportunity to praise God, what should God's people do? Take it. All right. Fies or both. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.